This is Kevin Conroy, and I know that this week in Geek can't handle the goddamn Batman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So damn nerdy. I'll take care of the comic.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to Beyond the Gauntlet, recorded not at 14 Mill Street in Orangeville, Ontario. No, we're coming to you from the newly dubbed Birdcage, which, why did I never think of this? I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm joined with the proprietor of the Gauntlet Comics and Games,
Chris Piddle.
And of course, the wheelman who helped facilitate this trek across dangerous county roads of snow and death.
I am Jeff DeHaan.
And you know what? Today's the first day without a state of emergency. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. However, one person is missing today.
Yes, Jamie McBurney. DC Comics finally caught up with him for all the negative comments he's been making on the podcast, has captured him and is holding him in a secret facility, forcing him to read old issues of Hawk and Dove and Grifter, having to painstakingly deal with Rob Liefeld's art.
I like Grifter.
I'm picturing him with the Clockwork Orange apparatus with his eyes held
open. Oh, completely.
And, you know, the pages.
Completely. Next time he's on the show, he might be a completely different man because of this.
I'm sorry, Jamie. I'm so sorry. But yes, guys, we are here. We're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, a.k.a. the day where Twitter and Facebook become useless. Except for the trailers, then it's all right. However, today, kind of a serious note before we get into the show. Recently has been reported by many multiple sources that, unfortunately, actor Philip Seymour Hoffman has passed away of an apparent drug overdose. He was 46 years old. Now, it's important to note this because this very much ties into today's discussion. We're going to be talking about dream casting for superhero movies and obviously pop culture geeky stuff in general. He was the new game master for the Hunger Games, and he's had two movies, Mockingjay 1 and 2. What's going to happen now?
Yeah, that's... something you had mentioned earlier, Mike, was that they might just... completely scrap his scenes and reshoot them with somebody else.
Yeah, because they can't Paul Walker him. Like, no. He's the main bad guy. It's like recasting Gandalf halfway through Lord of the Rings.
And something that I had heard for, speaking of Walker, is that he had most of his scenes for the latest one, Fast and Furious movie, pretty much in the can.
Yeah.
So all they're going to do is basically, I think, get one of his brothers to kind of stand in and maybe digitize the face a little bit for some, you know, distance shots or whatever. But he had most of his stuff done.
Maybe Philip Seymour Hoffman had a similar thing.
And that's possible. He might have had all his stuff done.
They said, I think he had about half his scenes done for Mockingjay.
Now, are they shooting both of them like back to back kind of
thing? I would assume so. It seems to be the new trend in Hollywood, which... honestly, isn't that bad an idea, but I'm so sick of them splitting movies in two. Like, The Hobbit, for example, did not need to be three movies.
The Twilight one that was the last one, I don't think it needed to be
Twilight,
two.
Twilight Breaking Dawn, I'm so glad you brought this up. In the first movie, Twilight Breaking Dawn, Part 1, nothing happens.
This is what I'm saying. I don't think that needed to be two. One that I actually stand behind is 7th Harry Potter. That one splitting into
it
two.
It needed to be because of the
Horcruxes.
It was
a long story, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And neither one felt boring or unneeded or anything.
Yeah, like, because Deathly Hallows Part 1 gave him a lot of gravitas. And just you really saw Daniel Radcliffe, goddamn, that kid can act. Especially when you give him something to work with.
But you look at any of those two-parter movies... what if, like, the villain, the actor died halfway? What would you have done? You know?
See, in the Matrix movie, when Gloria, the woman who played the Oracle, died, they gave an in-universe explanation. They said the machines had found her, deleted that version of her. So she came back the same, with the same memories, but not the same person. She was basically Doctor Who regenerated. And it made sense. I was willing to accept that.
Yes,
one.
But unfortunately, being that the Hunger Games are based on a book series, they can't do a rewrite like
that. Yeah, it's going to be so weird because I think he really gave an awesome performance in Catching Fire.
Do you think it's going to be delayed?
I really do. Honestly, the director for that is probably pacing in a room right now.
I would
going,
say probably,
shit.
I'm going to say probably a year. They'll put it. They'll try to keep it as close to the same date as possible, but a year later.
We might get to keep fans happy. They'll probably release like a 10-minute scene this year.
Maybe, but I mean, look at the Batman Superman one got pushed back a year to 2016 now.
Oh, well, you know what? We can talk about that too, because that's going to be, because there's casting news this week. Mm-hmm, let's start the discussion with this. Jesse Eisenhower.
Eisenberg,
whatever. Frig. Basically, the kid that played Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network, and now you see me as this con man magician, as Lex Luthor. I was angry about it, but you know what? The more I think about it.
I like it.
He's got that slick mentality.
The only thing that when I first heard it that I wasn't keen on, I'm like, he seems kind of young, because I've always, and maybe it's the bald head, but I've always thought Luthor was
like 10 years older than Clark, at
5
least.
To 10 years older than Clark Kent. Yeah.
Well, here's
so
the thing that
Ben
I
Affleck,
think,
who's that age, and then Eisenberg.
But here's the thing that I think is going to work with this. And in fact, out of all the casting choices so far they've announced for this movie, this is the one I'm the happiest with. First of all, Lex Luthor, before he went bald, had curly,
red hair.
Curly ass red hair.
Yep.
And all they got to do is dye his hair red, and then he's got the curly already covered. Second of all, I actually do like this guy, as an actor.
Yeah.
I think
he's
an extremely good actor.
Fantastic in Social Network.
Social Network, he was amazing.
He basically was Lex Luthor in The Social Network.
He was. And you know what? The thing with Lex Luthor is he is the sort of character that a lot of people don't understand at first how smart he really is, and kind of peg him for somebody who's not as intelligent as he really is. And this kid's really good at doing that.
Yeah, like one of his movies that surprised me, the movie itself is kind of but it's a movie he did last year called Now You See Me. He played a wonderful misdirection game.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great, I actually really like that movie personally. I mean, I can understand why someone might not like it, but I enjoyed it, and the bulk of the reason I enjoyed it is
was him.
Him. Exactly.
There's one line he says that I think sums up what his Lex Luthor portrayal should be. It's like, no matter where you think you have me, you are exactly where I want you to be. That is Lex Luthor to me.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And so, that's the crux of his relationship with Superman, is that he doesn't always get away with that with Clark Kent or Superman.
Yeah. I mean, Batman versus Superman, this movie's been plagued with nothing but casting problems.
And
I use the word problems with quotation marks.
One of the things that prompted the idea for this topic of discussion was Gail Gadot being cast as Wonder Woman. Because she's a relative unknown, which we've all said at one point or another, Chris was saying it earlier today, casting unknowns is sometimes the best thing you can do.
Well, when I looked at Gail Gadot, it's the physicality of her. To me, Wonder Woman, Diana, right? Should be, I picture like one of those female MMA fighters with that, they look like Amazons, like big, tough, people that can kick your ass. Gail Gadot looks like you could take her
and snap her in half.
Unless she commits like Christian Bale to that physicality.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is like, are they filming tomorrow? No, she does have time to get in shape if need be.
Okay. I'm going to be the male chauvinist in the room here. And I'm going to say that my biggest problem with her is the fact that I always pictured Wonder Woman in the comics. She is portrayed this way. And in past television shows and everything, she's a very voluptuous figure. She has breasts. She has an ass.
She's got
but
curves.
She's got curves. And Gail Gadot has no tits and very barely an ass.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's going to fill the costume out right. I completely think that she can pull off the physicality parts of the role, because anybody can do that with the correct training and the correct choreography behind them. And she actually, her face looks close enough to Diana to get away with. I just don't think her form looks like Wonder Woman. And that's my only complaint. And like I said, I'm being maybe a little too picky male chauvinist
as far as her physical state. The only issue I've had was that I think she's kind of short. And Diana's supposed to be like an Amazon and be like close
imposing,
kind of close to 6 feet.
But you can do stuff with camera tricks with that. I mean, look at Tom Cruise. He's always portrayed in movies as
that's true.
6 foot
always a really
guy when
guy.
He's only like 5 foot nothing. So
that's true.
It's all camera angles and
but
stuff.
But that's kind of the thing that really spurred this topic of conversation for us was a month or two back whenever that was first announced. And it, like Chris said, this movie's been plagued with that.
I think finally people have finally gotten over Batfleck. I think so.
I never had a problem with.
And the funny thing with Ben Affleck cast as Batman in this whole thing, I honestly think that a lot of people don't give Ben Affleck the credit he's due.
I agree because they keep thinking Gigli. They should be thinking Argo.
Well, exactly. And the other thing, too.
Is he the same guy he was 10 years ago?
When, hell no. When,
20
no.
years ago, whenever Daredevil or, you know, Gigli or whatever was made? No.
No, I think Ben Affleck. Now, in fact, it's been rumored. There's been some rumors floating around this week on the net that Ben Affleck might be walking from the role because he's extremely pissed off at the horrible writing of the script.
Mm.
And I don't think this should be a Zack Snyder movie because... The only movie I felt he's done really right, and this will rile people right up, so post on the Facebook page for this one, folks. I liked Watchmen.
Oh, I loved Watchmen. Watchmen.
And I liked 300, even though I know he kind of botched that in some ways. And his worst example of work was Sucker Punch. Yeah. It looked awesome.
Oh, that movie was pure eye candy.
But everything else, it was garbage. And, you know, Man of Steel, I think, may be his best directorial so far because it was his movie. But I think Watchmen was his most competent, if that makes any sense.
See, and the thing, and the other reason why I think Ben Affleck is going to do an awesome job as Batman, if everything falls into place this way, is the Daredevil movie. I personally, the only problem I had with the Daredevil movie was the writing. I actually didn't mind Ben Affleck playing
Daredevil. Yeah, I thought he was a great Matt Murdock.
He was fine. The only casting I didn't like about it was Jennifer Garner as Elektra because she seemed too girl next door to me.
Yeah, she didn't scream Elektra Nachos to me. I can see where they went with the casting because she was in Alias at that time, so she had the physicality and the training behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But she has this girl next door look where... You just want to give her a hug.
You look at her as Elektra, and then you look at her in something like 13 Going on 30.
Yeah, exactly.
What seems like a more fitting role for her?
But right? Then again, Catwoman, Anne Hathaway from Princess Diaries to this, right? You know what I mean?
I stood by Anne Hathaway, though. I like her, and I've seen her in some roles, like some, you know, smaller roles where she's kind of done things that are a little more out of her usual wheelhouse.
You know what? I'm going to play the part of Chris right now and play the male chauvinist part. I saw her boobies in Brokeback Mountain, so I'm happy. Just saying. Hey, buddy.
In a lot of ways, though, I really subscribe to the wait-and-see philosophy.
I want to see a trailer.
The very first time when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker, everybody was like, he's a gay cowboy. This is going to be terrible. I didn't say, oh, he's going to rock it. He's going to be awesome. I didn't say that. I'll
pleasantly surprised.
But I was like, you know what? I haven't seen enough of his body of work because I didn't watch Brokeback Mountain. All I'd really seen
Night Tales, maybe?
A Night's Tale and like maybe 10 Things I Hate About You were the only things I had seen of him. So I'm like, you know what? I'll wait and see. And look what happened.
I went on record.
He did so well with that role, it killed him.
I went on record in 2007, I think it was, and I said, oh, Heath Ledger's going to suck as the Joker. And one of our fans, to my infinite wisdom, pointed this out to me during one of our shows at Niagara College. And ultimately, it was... Yep, I look like an idiot. So, yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, honestly, a trailer's going to be an indication of how this is going to go.
But you can't even necessarily go by that because sometimes trailers
are shittily cut.
Look, I'm looking forward to the, and this isn't comic books, but I'll try to make it brief. The Maleficent movie.
Friggin' cool.
Yes, the second trailer was released. The second trailer is horrible.
Was that the dream one it was called?
No, the second trailer was the one that looked like a trailer from like 10 or 20 years ago where it had like the voiceover guy. Mm-hmm. It basically treated it like a family movie. Like you'd swear it was a trailer for like the animated Snow White kind of thing with the voiceover guy. And that just, it made
sold
it.
Sold you?
No, it made it like sold the, me the, out like, of it. It like made the, me not
like
want to
see the voiceover
it.
Guy that's like in everything.
Who's yeah. actually dead?
Well, it's a
yeah, but sound people the do equivalent. Impersonations, so live on forever.
Yeah, like the second trailer sold me for that. Because I'm thinking, oh my god, Angelina Jolie looks cool.
See, I didn't. Maybe it was the third trailer.
Yeah, maybe second or third.
There was the first teaser where you hardly saw any of her.
Yeah.
Then there was the first official trailer, and then there was this one.
Yeah, the most recent one's the one that I saw.
Well,
on YouTube,
I wasn't keen on that whatsoever, and I still probably want to see the movie because
it could be
cool. I think the movie will still be good, but that trailer, that. Second trailer with the voiceover dude and everything did not sell me on this movie whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So trailers can be poison too, you know. So.
What about the what about you guys? The announcement that Channing Tatum is playing Gambit in the new Gambit solo movie.
You know what? I'm kind of okay with him.
I don't mind Channing Tatum. I'm not sure if I like him as Gambit, but I'm over the fact that obviously they're not going to give Gambit the Cajun accent.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen.
Well, what X-Men could Channing Tatum play?
He could probably play a few. I like Channing Tatum personally.
Yeah, so do I. I thought he was awesome in G.I. Joe.
Yeah, both of them, exactly. He's got a nice comedic timing to him. He can do the comedies. He can do the action. Women love his abs. You know, I mean, it's like, so he can definitely pull off some sort of superhero. What X-Men would he pull off?
Maybe Angel? Gambit?
Possibly.
An Iceman. He wouldn't be a bad Iceman.
Yeah. I'd say Warpath if he was
native.
The fact that he's not native, exactly.
Oh, my God. Taylor Lautner would be an awesome Warpath.
Yeah. Who is Warpath, actually? I can't remember his name right now.
Some random.
But he's going to be in the...
Yeah, he's going to be in the Days of Future Past movie.
I'm sad they didn't bring back Ray Park as Toad.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Ray Park's another one I really love. He's
a great character actor.
Yeah. Great character actor and just fabulous martial artist and everything. That's one thing. Like the impressive cast, while we're on the subject of Days of Future Past. You know, like both old and new. Like they've got Blink in there.
Yep.
Warpath.
Sunfire or Sunspot or something.
Yeah, unfortunate that Rogue pretty much got cut. She had one scene, and I heard that it.
I think it was only her rescue scene cut.
I thought that was the only scene that she was in, though. I heard she was only in one scene, so that she was basically cut from the film. I could be wrong. It's the internet, so you never know.
Yeah.
Actually, it's okay. Anna Paquin will just go back to True Blood, and everything will be.
You know what? I never felt like they treated that character right.
Rogue?
Throughout all three movies.
It's because they mixed her with Jubilee, and I agree. Rogue, while watching the old 90s cartoon, which we'll get into in a future episode, I'm sure, Rogue was one of my favorites. But Anna Paquin, and I have no problem with Anna Paquin, but it's because they basically mixed the character with Jubilee, because they wanted her to have that relationship with Logan, which is a thing that he's always had with Jubilee, not with Rogue.
Yeah, and I want a standalone character as Jubilee. Like, Jubilee is honestly my favorite X-Men, X-Man, yeah. And she's so cool, in my opinion. Sucks that she's a depowered vampire now. What the hell did you do to my character, Marvel?
Oh, and she's a mother now, too, by the way.
Oh, get the...
She didn't actually have... It's a found child. She's more of a foster mother, so it's not so bad.
Wow, Marvel. Thanks.
If you're reading the all-female X-Men book, it's
pretty weird.
She's one of the focuses. I enjoy the book personally, but yeah,
she's
one of the main focuses.
I don't know, Chris. If there's a trade for this, set it aside. I'll read it.
When they are released, I will put it aside.
I'm trying to think of what other characters worked. I liked the guy that played Cyclops.
Marston, really?
Yeah, I really did. He struck me as a Cyclops kind of character because
I thought he did a better job portraying Cyclops in Superman Returns than he ever did in the X-Men movies. His character in the Superman Returns had more of the leadership and backbone that Cyclops has in the comic books than he was ever portrayed with in the movie. In the movies, all he did was whine. It was like, Gene, oh my god, Gene.
I kind of always liked that. Yeah. It was horrible.
I didn't like him in the X-Men movies either. I felt like there was...
I thought he had the look of it.
He might... Well, yeah, but I mean, his eyes were covered the whole time, too. It's not that tough to necessarily get the look. Because when he was originally cast, I was like, really? He seems kind of young to me. But when you can't see his eyes, suddenly he doesn't seem that young. So
yeah.
It worked. But I feel like more attention was put on Wolverine. And, you know, Wolverine looking like the better guy in that little love triangle, and not enough time and effort was put into Cyclops.
Yeah, they honestly should have given him a little bit more screen time.
Like, X-Men The Last Stand, spoilers, that was a mercy killing, really.
Yeah.
For that character in as far as the films go.
Oh, yeah.
Although that pissed me off, because Cyclops
is... off-camera mercy killing, that was...
He's probably my second favorite character. I love... Shoot a laser beam at it. And a main reason I love him is because of the X-Men animated series.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of who else from those movies that was treated well. I liked...
Well, Hugh Jackman, I think,
Yeah.
And you know what?
Perfect casting choice for Wolverine.
And that's another one that's kind of an out-of-left-field thing. Like, think about it. Before Wolverine, who was he? He was a Broadway actor. He was a singer. He was a guy in musicals.
He was He was the lead love interest in Ever After, A Love Story. Something Du Gray or something like that.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Would you have picked someone like that to be Wolverine?
No.
No.
We should get into some of these wish castings. You know, and I'm going to jump this this off right now. Okay. There's a lot of talk about the Netflix shows coming out
Marvel's.
Luke Cage and Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Drew, and there was one other one.
Oh, what was it? Iron Fist? Did you say
Iron Fist? Yeah, Iron Fist, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, sorry.
That's the one that was with Luke
Cage. And was it Moon Knight was the fourth?
I think so.
Yeah,
Moon Knight. Anyway, so let's talk about those. Who do you think, if someone was to reprise the role of Daredevil, who do you think could pull it off today?
Well, I guess it all depends on where they're going. If it's definitely an origin tale, like that was one thing with the Affleck Daredevil movies, it wasn't really an origin because his origin technically was told in flashbacks because it was when he was a kid. So he was already Daredevil at the time, which isn't necessarily a bad way to go about it. So it all depends. If they're kind of telling the tale of him becoming Daredevil, obviously they'd want someone a little younger. Geez, I don't know.
I'm thinking here. I'm trying to think who's young enough and can pull off a convincing lawyer.
Yeah.
Because you gotta have someone who can speak the legalese and believes it.
See, and here's the thing that I think. I think Channing Tatum would have been a better choice for Daredevil.
I think he's a little too buff for that, in my opinion.
I don't believe so, because Daredevil is, you know, wearing spandex and is always buff in the costumes. I think he would have pulled that off really, really well.
I'm trying to think, can I picture Channing Tatum? Well, I guess he did do pretty good in 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As far as Luke Cage is concerned, I think that
there's a dude from a show that I loathe more than life itself, but this guy is awesome. Shamar Moore from Criminal Minds.
Yes,
he would be sick as Luke Cage.
I think he could. I'm not saying he'd do a bad job, and he looks great. But at the same time, I'm thinking it's like, how old is he technically?
I think he's like maybe 35.
So again, it depends if they're doing kind of more origin-y tales with these Netflix shows, they might want someone a little younger. I was actually thinking, and he's already cast, ironically, in a Marvel TV show. Dude that played Gunn in Angel. I don't remember the actor's name.
Oh,
I'm terrible
yeah.
with names.
Well, a lot of people
he's going to be Deathlok now.
That's so cool.
I think he would have been a decent Luke Cage.
See, and the funny thing is, before S.H.I.E.L.D. started, a lot of people thought he was Luke Cage in the S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Exactly. That's, yeah.
So I think that would work out well. As far as Iron Fist goes, Iron Fist, I honestly
technically
think,
I could even see Tatum doing that, too.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, he'd be a pretty cool Danny Rand.
I could see him doing Danny Rand before Daredevil.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. That's a good point. I agree with that. Now, Moon Knight, you know who I honestly think would be a fantastic Moon Knight?
Who's that?
I honestly think that, he's currently in, his brother's currently Arrow, but what's his, not Steven, Jason Amell.
Amell, okay.
Jason Amell.
Do you know anything he's been in off chance?
Well, he's currently in another television show, that is kind of superhero based. God, why is this show completely skipping my mind? I'm having a complete brain fart. The Tomorrow People.
Oh, okay. I haven't been watching that, unfortunately. But okay,
he's in that, and he does a really good job in that. But the way he's portraying the role, I think he could pull it off because he has the capacity to do the serious, I don't take any crap side, kind of like his brother does, mm-hmm. in the way he portrays Arrow. But I think he would do an awesome Moon Knight. Because Moon Knight is basically like, he's going to have a lot of Batman characteristics.
Well, and
he's a little bit off his rocker because of the whole believing that he's possessed by the Moon
Knight. I don't know enough about Moon Knight. I know he's a character who's almost Marvel's equivalent to Batman, but he's not completely all there. But I don't know a lot of details about it. But one thing you want to definitely make sure with all these Netflix shows, Because but the sounds of things is that they're going to turn it all into Defenders or like Heroes for Hire. So you want to make sure all these actors have a good chemistry too.
That's true. That's true.
Especially, and you also have to make sure they're still available too.
Especially for Luke Cage and Jones, because if they stick to the comics, those two wind up together.
Yeah. Speaking of another good acting choice, I am completely 100% sold on Manu Bennett currently playing Deathstroke in Arrow. He makes that costume fill out, and he's a fantastic actor ever since the Spartacus stuff. So, where he played Crixus, the gladiator.
One piece of casting I'd love to see with the Justice League movie, it's not going to happen. Actually, there are two choices. Green Lantern should be Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan, the older version, because I think he gives that, he's got the sense of humor I see in Hal Jordan, but also that leadership responsibility.
Well, it doesn't hurt that he's already played him a couple of times in animated.
Exactly. I really think that would really help sell this.
Especially, yeah. And I don't think anybody would have any issue on account of the fact that
he's Captain Mal.
Well, not that he's Captain Mal, but that no one really likes the Green Lantern movie that was already made.
Yeah. Another piece.
One definitely won't happen, though, I don't think, on account of the fact that he's in pretty tight with ABC, which is owned by Disney, who also owns Marvel. Because that's what his show Castle is on. I'm not saying he can't do other work, but I don't know if he would be able to do like a multi-picture deal with DC if, you know, because there were a lot of rumors that he was going to be playing Ant-Man too for
a while. Another piece of casting taking out of Green Lantern, Ryan Reynolds as the Flash.
I can see it.
Because he's got that sense of humor about it.
Yeah. You know, I was always really, wow, Hal Jordan? And I mean, I still think he did a decent job. I didn't hate the Green Lantern movie.
I think he would have been a better Kyle Rayner.
Possibly. But as far as the Justice League movie goes, and I was telling Chris this on the ride up here, you know who they should do? Jon Stewart.
Yeah! Oh my God, I'd love to see Jon Stewart.
Now, for any non-comic book type folks, no, I don't mean the Daily Show guy. I mean the character of Jon Stewart. Who was the second Green Lantern, or was he second or third? Guy Gardner was already Green Lantern, I think, as well.
Yeah, he would have been the third one.
He was the third one. But bring him into the Justice League movie. That way, in case, for whatever reason, they might not want to completely scrap everything that was brought in with that, with the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern, they've got someone completely new. Plus, think about how many kids grew up with the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's, so the Green Lantern they know might be.
And they should get the dude from Pacific Rim. Elvis, Elba. I've seen the posters people have made. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, please be my Jon Stewart.
He could. Like, he's a really tall dude. And I could see that, but I don't know. And I love Idris Elba, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I see him as Jon Stewart personally.
You know who I think could pull off Jon Stewart? Because you need somebody, because Jon Stewart was a character that was a Marine, and he's the most serious of the Lanterns.
And he's like an architect or something.
He was an architect. I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who played Broyles from Fringe. Because that guy plays serious like nobody's business, but I think he could pull it off. I can't even remember his name, but he was Agent Broyles in Fringe.
Sorry, the name's escaping me too. But speaking of black actors up for superhero roles, anytime there's a, you know, black role, this name always comes up. I've heard it for Luke Cage. I've heard it for Jon Stewart. I've even heard it for Captain Marvel, Shazam. And it's like, really? And that's Dwayne Johnson. The Rock.
Isn't he supposed to play someone in the Justice League movie?
I would like, he's probably tailor-made for Black Adam.
That would be cool.
Black Adam's actually of like a Kondak, which isn't it kind of like a Middle Eastern country or something like that?
I've heard people say Lobo as well.
Possibly. It's like, because a lot of people see Johnson's sense of humor and figure like, oh, okay, yeah, we've got to cast him as that. But he can do a great villain and just a great badass character. I think he would be a great Black Adam.
You know, I was having this thought, and you probably know more about this than me, Jeff, because you're more into the wrestling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I picture Eddie Brock, I was kind of looking at something last night. I was kind of thinking John Cena.
I could see that, because Brock definitely does have a certain build to him.
Yeah, and just, I was watching Monday night's Raw from last week, where he's in that triple elimination thing, and I kept looking at his face. I'm thinking, man, I've seen panels with those faces. That could be Eddie Brock in the Venom suit. I mean, that could be really cool.
That wouldn't be too bad. And Cena's not a terrible actor. Like, WWE's done a lot of movies. A lot of people have seen him. And I mean, the budgets aren't necessarily great. But Cena, a lot of wrestling fans don't like him. I don't want to turn into a huge wrestling conversation here.
That's for another day.
Exactly. A lot of fans don't like him, especially now that you've gotten into it.
This is so cool.
I need to sit you under the learning tree, Mike. But he's got a charisma to spare, you know, like he's got a ton of charisma. So, I mean, he could definitely pull off some roles. I don't know if he could do Eddie Brock as Venom bad guy role.
Yeah, if he was the anti-hero.
Have either of you guys seen the YouTube short film Truth in Journalism?
No, not. Tell me about this.
Truth in Journalism, it was actually directed by the same guy who did the Dirty Laundry Punisher short for Tom Jane.
Oh, okay.
And this one, the actor, I really suck at actor names. I can never retain them for some reason. But in True Blood, the guy that plays Jason Stackhouse.
Is he a werewolf guy?
No, he's...
God, what's his name? And he's in that romantic comedy right now, and I know his name.
I know, and that's what that's why this episode sucks for me, because I
can
never remember
actors' names.
All I can
think of is I know Joe Manganiello,
anyway,
but he's a werewolf.
That guy, that actor, plays Eddie Brock in it. And it's all about Eddie Brock trying to film a documentary to make himself look better as a reporter after he got fired from the Daily Planet.
That's so cool.
And there's actually a couple scenes in it where he kind of venoms out. But it's done very kind of...
Subtly.
And it's really, really cool. And I thought he did Eddie Brock bang on.
You got to send me that list.
Yeah,
dude.
That's
going in
the episode description.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's called Truth in Journalism. I just watched it myself not too long ago, and it was brilliant.
I kick myself when I hear his name too, because I know him because I really like him as an actor. Like, first of all, you wouldn't know it by watching the show, but then again, everybody's like that. Like, everybody on True Blood is like, with the exception of one or two people, are all like British or Australian, but you wouldn't know it because they all have Southern accents. You know, they do such a great job of hiding it. But he's another one that, yeah, he's like a British guy. I've seen him in a couple other things, and he's a really decent actor.
I thought about this the other day, too. Unfortunately, for this casting, I would need a time machine. Think back to NYPD Blue, early years.
Okay.
David Caruso. Mm-hmm. So get this image in your mind. Carnage.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that would
young
be good.
David Caruso.
David Caruso.
Mind you, this is something that is rumored to be going on right now. That the end of the next Spider-Man movie, they're introducing Cletus Casty being played by Jim Carrey.
I could see that, as long as he doesn't go campy with it.
Think like number 23.
Yeah.
This is what I was going to say, is that a lot of people cast Jim Carrey down as being too comedic and everything, but they don't realize that he can do serious roles. It's just nobody goes to see those.
Yeah, like he did.
He can be
the
creepy
Majestic.
As hell when he wants to be. Mm-hmm. Like, he does like that psycho kind of side to him pretty good.
The problem is, when someone gets really, an audience gets really used to you portraying a certain kind of role,
it's hard to not think of
that. You know, Robin Williams has tried to do serious roles and kind of creepy roles.
This is what happens with the typecasting, right?
And, exactly.
You know, you start playing something, and it's like, it's going to be like Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles. They ever leave Supernatural, they're never going to be remembered for anything but Supernatural.
This was only this
you
was
could
only
argue
a voice.
Gilmore Girls for at least Jared.
Or Jared, yeah, that's right. Jensen was the soap opera. Jensen Ackles, though, while it was only voice because it was an animated movie, did a fantastic job of Jason Todd. I just watched that again last night. Batman Under the Red Hood. He does a fantastic job the Red Hood in that movie.
Oh, I'm not denying their acting power.
But it's the typecasting.
It's like Daniel Radcliffe will always be Harry Potter. Mark Hamill was always Luke Skywalker.
Although the problem with Carrey, he probably could do it. If he doesn't do one thing, he'll be fine. If he ever gives the trademark Jim Carrey laugh, the illusion is broken. Because the second he goes into the Cletus Cassidy Carnage killing things, if he does that high-pitched cackle he does, it'll kill it.
Now, I don't care what Marvel movie they stick him in. Maybe it'll end up, maybe it could be in like Captain America 3 when that happens, because it will.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to see Jean-Claude Van Damme play Batroc the Leaper. Okay, I just want that. I just, that is a personal little.
Well, Batroc's in the new one.
Is he?
Yeah, there was like a still came out the other day. He's like, damn, kicking.
It, oh,
yeah.
If it's not Van Damme, I'm not sold.
I don't think so.
He's kicking some dude in the throat.
It has to be Van Damme, because Van Damme would be the perfect Batroc the Leaper.
You know who you could put Van Damme as, though? Because he'll be covered by a mask anyway? Taskmaster. He's got the martial arts behind him.
You know what? All this talk about earlier when we were talking about Gambit, I honestly thought that that he would have made a perfect Gambit. Have you ever seen like his early movie from the late 90s, Hard Target?
Yeah.
He was pretty much Gambit in that already, except without throwing the cards.
Yeah.
Like, he was the Cajun guy, he wore the trench coat, he was like,
and he fought aside Wilford Brimley.
Exactly.
The diabetes guy.
That whole movie was him Gambit. I think he could have pulled off Gambit very well.
Possibly. So I feel like studios maybe get a little kind of antsy, or like kind of skittish a bit when it comes to Gambit. As we were saying, we're not going to see the Cajun accent.
He's popular, but he's risky. You know what I mean? Like, he's popular amongst comic fans, mm-hmm. but does he have a wide enough appeal? For example, Wolverine, everybody knows who Wolverine is.
A lot of people's favorite character was Gambit from the 90s cartoons. So.
But well, I think studios are worried about the marketability of him.
And that's the thing, though. Like, can you pass Gambit off without the accent? Because his most recognizable feature is his accent.
Yeah.
I know he's a comic character and you never hear his voice, but I mean, the way it's written is, you know when Gambit's talking, because it's all Cher and, you know, the whole New Orleans accent.
Can you pull off, and this is reiterating your question, I guess, can you pull off the personality of that character without the accent? I think you kind of can, and I think it was done with Sawyer from Lost.
Which, by the way, that guy has been cast as Aquaman.
Has he?
Yeah, he was. He's now Aquaman.
He just started
Superman,
a new TV
Batman.
Series, that's too, cool. actually, called Intelligence, that he's really good in.
And the guy playing that was cast as
Josh
Aquaman.
Holloway is going
Josh,
to be Aquaman.
Josh Holloway is
interesting.
I can see that.
It and was, you know, between him and Jason Momoa, and apparently he won it.
And you know what I like is that he's in a good age range for that, because he's not like fresh-faced young guy, but at the same time, he's not too old that he can't play the role for multiple films.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that idea. That's then again, cool. I like Josh Holloway.
I think
he was my favorite character in Lost.
I think, so. I like Aquaman, dude. Beard and everything. He could, like, the bearded Aquaman. He could sport that so well.
He could probably do both, really.
Yeah,
because you know, without the beard, he's got those kind of chiseled Hollywood guy looks and all that.
This is something that I've always debated with a lot of my regulars in the comic shop, except for maybe you, Jeff. I don't think I've ever brought this up with you, just because you're normally the Batman guy. Doctor Strange. Who do you think could pull Doctor Strange off? I know there was a rumor going around that Johnny Depp was.
Ugh.
No, he'd be a badass doing... Riddler, but not Hugo Strange.
No.
Stephen
Strange. Hugo Strange is a Batman guy.
Oh, they are both different. Doctors, though.
So oh, I Doctor guess, Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Stephen Strange. We should specify, because they are both Doctor Stranges, so it does lend to some complications.
I could see
Depp
doing a good job with that, actually.
He could do a decent job. I think someone could do better. That's why I was like, oh, it's not that I have a problem with Johnny Depp as an actor.
Because apparently one of the third installment Marvel movies, or third...
Phase three
Marvel movies is Doctor Strange.
That doesn't surprise me. They've kind of been high on Doctor Strange. When Marvel, they don't do it as much now, but when they were doing the straight-to-DVD features like DC was... I believe the first one they did was Doctor Strange.
And you know what? And that was one of my favorite animated ones.
Yeah, my wife and I really love that one, too. Who could pull it off? I think I'd almost want to see someone a little bit younger than Depp, although Depp's one of those guys who doesn't seem to age.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is Doctor Strange? I mean, he has gray hair.
He's not
super an older
young.
Doctor.
I'm not saying Channing
Tatum. You know
Tatum's
who I always
play
thought would pull a great Doctor Strange?
Channing Tatum is Doctor Strange.
You just might as well toss him in everything. I honestly always thought that Liam Neeson could do an awesome Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, I mean, Liam Neeson's kind of getting a little closer to the other end of the age spectrum, but I could see that for sure. And I just meant I don't want to see someone too young, because keep in mind, he's a surgeon. You had to spend how many years in school?
You know who I'd like to see as a bad guy in that movie? If they did Baron Mordo or Dormammu, John Rhys-Davies.
Oh, yes.
Because that voice, if he's an enemy...
Especially Dormammu, if he's going to be completely CG, then
give
he's
it
just
to him.
The voice.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, speaking of things that I... When it comes to voices of movies, I did not think that Lawrence Fishburne's voice fit the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four second
movie. That was too close to the Matrix, I think, because he was Morpheus in that role anyway.
Another great Ray Park performance, though.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yes, which kind of brings me into a little...
Was that Ray Park? I thought it was Ray Parker. Was that... No, that was Doug Jones.
Doug Jones, yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I get another great character actor. I do get
Abe Sapien,
mixed up a little
right.
Much. Yes.
Which brings me to another segue into the Fantastic Four movie that is now being cast, where they actually are casting that kid from The Chronicle.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan is apparently playing Human Torch, which makes no sense being that his sister, Sue Storm, is still being played by a white actress. I'm trying to wrap my head around
We don't actually know any details. They might futz with it a bit, and maybe they will bring in adoption or something like that, or
maybe from a previous marriage or something.
Yeah, who knows? They might, because I mean, it's not like it's a mutant thing where they have to be related to get their powers.
Yeah.
So I'm not keen on Jordan being cast for that, just because he seems too young.
Yeah.
They get their powers by going into space. He's not going to be some fresh-faced, right out of high school kid and go up in a rocket to space.
Well, yeah. Maybe, you know? I guess if Reed's like, I guess it's under my purview, I can do what I want. However, they can't replace Michael Chiklis as the Thing.
No. Michael Chiklis was the perfect Thing.
Hey, they could always do with Jordan what they did with Alba in the first ones and just progressively with every film make him more and more white. That was one of my biggest...
So we're going to Michael Jackson him.
You ever watch those two Fantastic Four movies? She gets whiter as she goes. And I'm like, first of all, the fact that they even bothered to do that kind of annoys me on many levels. It's like, yeah, I get that you were making her blonde because Sue Storm is blonde. And I don't know if maybe her darker complexion didn't work with it. But I mean, the second one between how pale her skin is compared to how it naturally looks and the blue contact lenses, she looks ridiculous. And that's nothing against Jessica Alba. She's a beautiful woman and everything.
Just not Sue Storm.
I'm like, really, guys, did you really have to try that? And she's an all right actress. I have no problem with her as Sue Storm. My complaint is more with them trying to make her look like Sue Storm.
I think they
instead of being herself.
Out of the Fantastic Four, I think they got Mr. Fantastic, right? Ian Gulfold, whatever the hell his name is. I can't pronounce
it. Gulfold, something like that. We know what you mean. Another British actor.
He was good. I liked him.
Chiklis' Thing was dead on.
Dead on. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans as the Human Torch, I was okay with.
At the time, Chris Evans now, and no, granted, he's Captain America, so we know it's not going to happen. But yeah, he was all right, because that really is kind of Johnny Storm's, you know.
That attitude.
Yeah.
Once again, Channing Tatum as the Human Torch. That'll be the running.
Coming in 2016, Marvel presents... Tatum. Starring Channing Tatum.
Oh my, you know, that I think that'll be the episode name. Channing Tatum's Marvel Universe.
No, it'll be Channing Tatum is Morph.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Oh dear.
But yeah, I mean, there's I didn't like the guy that played Dr. Doom. I didn't think he was hammy enough.
I have a Dr. Doom for you.
All right.
Oh, lay it on us.
Well, he's a live action actor. His best roles have come from his face being hidden.
Don't say Hugo Weaving.
Why not?
Is that who you're going to say?
Yeah.
I could see that, actually.
I think he would do a really great job. Now, he's not one to do... I don't know if it's a multi-sequel thing or whatever, but because I know after he did Red Skull, he wasn't keen on stuff. And again, it's multiple Marvel movies because they had that whole thing with Chris Evans being cast as Captain America, and people were like, well, he was already Human Torch, and don't realize that there's different rights involved and different companies own the rights. But I think he would do a great job of Doctor Doom.
I could see it, actually. Could you put him in a hero role, though?
You know what? He might be able to pull off Doctor Strange.
Was hoping you would go there, because that I could see.
Could he pull off the look with the goatee, though? I know that sounds like a subtle, simple, minor detail.
Maybe he wouldn't get the goatee until the end, maybe?
You know what? They might actually, they might decide not to do it because they don't want him to be compared too much to Tony Stark.
Yeah, I could see that,
studios
actually.
Studios have made those kinds of decisions before, so you never know.
And they'd probably, if they were going to do it, this movie's at least year or two down the pipeline, which gives them enough chance in the comics to change his look, to get people acclimatized towards it.
Yeah, I don't mind Julian McMahon as an actor, but I wasn't real keen on his Doctor Doom.
I wanted that Doctor Doom to be so much cooler because he's like one of my favorite Marvel bad guys.
Well, see, again, and a lot of that had to suffer from, I think he could have done better, but they kind of messed up Doctor Doom to begin with, like especially with that he got caught in the cosmic rays thing too and he just started turning to metal.
At least they didn't give him the goat legs.
That's
like
true.
Ultimate Doctor Doom.
What?
In the comics, Ultimate Doctor Doom had goat legs.
Yep.
I guess they wanted him to be closer to like Satan. I don't know. But the thing with Dr. Doom is he's imposing without having to do something. He's not some giant 7-foot monster. He's not some guy that has like superpowers that can crush you like an ant necessarily, but he's imposing.
Has that presence, that commanding presence.
Yes, commanding presence. Those are the words I was looking for. Exactly.
That, and he talks like Bo Jackson because Bo knows everything just from the earlier cartoons and, sports stuff. Bo knows football, but it's like Doom the same way. Doom knows. Insert thing here.
Man, Hugo Weaving would be an awesome Doctor Doom. Now that just picture him walking into a room. Doom commands you to kneel, and I could see that.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Oh my god, that would be so badass.
Yes, it would be.
One thing I want to go back to Days of Future Past for just a second. It's my dream, Bryan Singer. If you're listening, for the love of all that is holy, please go back to the X-Men animated series and get the guy who voices the Sentinels to voice the Sentinels. I want that.
Hey, they got...
So bad.
Hey, they got the voice of Optimus Prime for the Transformers movies. It's like, possible.
I would just love to hear Hugh Jackman interacting with a Sentinel with that robotic Hulk mutant. I want to hear that. That is my dream for Days of Future Past.
Well, you know what?
Past.
Even if they don't, I think that's something that they could probably digitize easily enough.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, because to me, there are certain iconic villain voices.
It's a matter
voices.
Of whether or not they do. Like, did you guys see the Empire Magazine has the 25 covers of the cast?
Yes.
And one of the covers is the future Sentinel.
I hope that's supposed to be Nimrod.
All black. I don't know if it's Nimrod.
I believe it's supposed to be Nimrod.
They just said future Sentinel, but obviously they wouldn't say Nimrod because the casual fan wouldn't know who that was.
I liked how did the original Sentinel, though, the Mark One from the cover. I think those look cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I think to be honest, out of all those covers, I thought Bishop looked amazing.
The worst was Quicksilver, though. We can all agree on that one, right?
Oh, my God. Quicksilver?
How do you fuck that up? Really?
Green costume with white hair.
Okay, you know what? The costume isn't a big deal. Costumes change for movies to comics and everything.
And that could be scene-specific for all we know.
You know what? I don't like the goggles.
Yeah, it's weird. You know what? He looks like he's going to a rave in 2001. That's what he screams to me, like, hey, guys!
Here's one for you, Mike.
No wonder. All right.
You ever played the Tekken games?
Yeah.
You know the character Lee?
Yeah.
The douchebag with the purple hair?
Yeah.
That's what he reminded me of.
Yeah, yeah. I could totally get that vibe from him.
Yeah, I think we're all...
I looked at that and was like, that's Lee.
Like,
that's
why?
Lee from Tekken.
I think we're all in agreement that Quicksilver looks the worst of those covers for sure.
Although, Peter Dinklage, he's going to be an awesome Bolivar Trask, but just... It's the framing on the cover of that magazine. He looks way smaller than he should. He looks about a foot shorter than what he is in real life.
Because the covers, if you look at them on the Empire website, because they have a little collage that has all of them, they run together. So they had to have the ground be in the same spot on the cover for each one.
Yeah.
So it's unless they had him floating in the air, he wasn't going to be central of the cover.
He could have stood
on what
like
saying.
An apple box or something.
Or they could have had him standing on a Sentinel.
That would have been cool. In a Sentinel's hand.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I was going to say sitting on his shoulder, but that might look a little too
Humpty Dumpty or something.
Well, okay, so here's something I wanted to ask you, Mike, just because they've been leaked all over the internet this week. The new Ninja Turtles.
Ah, yes.
I had to bring that up today because you are the Ninja Turtles aficionado.
It's funny because my buddy Jamie, the host of the prototype, we looked at, because we played a video game last year called TMNT Out of the Shadows, which is very similar to this in art style, But the new look of the new Bay Turtles, I'm kind of okay with, because at least the proportions of the face seem right. They don't have these giant goddamn nostrils like they did.
Or like the beak almost looking thing?
Yeah, like, yeah, they don't look like the Out of the Shadows characters, but I can see where they've drew an inspiration.
They definitely look more turtle-like.
Yeah, like, they feel all right. Although, the only character design I don't like is Raphael, because he's got the do-rag. Yeah, the sunglasses and the do-rag. It just looks goofy.
And I was going to say the same thing. I've seen the same kind of pictures that have been leaked around. I feel like they added things for the sake of adding them to be like, oh, well, you see,
They're just like people.
Raphael has sunglasses on him and the do-rag. That means he's like the badass cool dude. Donatello, oh, see?
He's got science goggles
on his forehead. That means he's the smart one.
With
you
tape
know?
Holding them together.
Like,
but it's like, did they really need to add the eyewear on top of the heads thing? It's like,
it's a little much.
I didn't mind it as much with Donatello, but you know what actually drove me up the wall was I thought that like Leonardo looked like he had like these like big pucker lips.
See, I think he's the one who looks the most true. And Michelangelo, although I don't like what he's wearing, like a hoodie or something. It just looks off.
Well, let's just hope at least that they won't bring in the trench coats, the hats, and
the
fake face masks that they had in the cartoon.
Oh, they actually have, there was a leaked picture where it shows them in the trench coats and the big goofy friggin' hats.
How much are the rumors that were floating around about this movie that he's making them aliens and all this stuff? Is any of that actually accurate?
I think they dropped it once people were like, I'm not seeing this because
honestly,
of this.
I think that was something that probably wasn't as huge of a deal to like the story of the movie. So I think, yeah, it's like Mike said, I think they were like, okay, you know what, maybe we can just scrap that,
like,
sweep
that
part
were,
under the rug.
Originally I heard that like they're gonna be aliens and they're all gonna use the same things and they're gonna actually use shotguns too, and they're only gonna be three of them. And I was like,
what?
Well, because these were some of the rumors that were originally floating around, and I started going, it sounds like he's making a Biker Mice from Mars movie
and that's the
now
problem.
Who do we cast as Limburger?
Exactly.
That's John Goodman.
That's the problem with internet rumors, though, is that
how much of it's BS?
Exactly, because it's Michael Bay, you could have said just about anything and people would have believed you.
You know what? One casting choice for that movie I'm very okay with. Megan Fox? Yeah, feedback this week in geek.net. I honestly like Megan Fox as April O'Neil.
I think it'd be all right.
Yeah, because she's got the yellow jumpsuit in the movie, as far as I know.
I've seen a couple shots from like behind scenes shots on set, and yeah, she's at least got a yellow jacket or something like that.
Like, she's gonna fill it out well, and I could believe her as like an entertainment reporter. She looks like she belongs on E Talk Daily.
Isn't that kind of the thing? April O'Neil's MO is that she's trying to be taken more seriously as a reporter.
Yeah,
so she could be like an
E
Talk kind of reporter who's then
wants to do hard news.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like I don't think it's a terrible casting choice.
And she hasn't, because of having a kid or two. Is it only one, or has she had two? Either way, because of that, she hasn't done a whole lot of work lately. It doesn't mean she's going to completely, you know,
suck.
Exactly.
Well,
this isn't going to be Jennifer's Body all over again.
Well, the advantage she has, because she's been out of the public eye for so long, a lot of people who saw Dark of the Moon back in 2000, not Dark of the Moon, Revenge of the Fallen, have kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah.
So this is her chance to come back. Is this going to be her comeback flick? No, but it's going to be the start of it. And I liked Megan Fox in those movies, admittedly.
Mm-hmm.
One, she's really hot. And two, there are certain scenes with Sam where I genuinely believe it. Once again, feedback of this week in Geek, I'm a giant idiot. I'm trying to think of other movies that need to be cast. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we might have missed as we begin to kind of wind this down. Or, actually, hold on. Chris said this to me before. When it comes down to things they've gotten bang on, Watchmen. Rorschach. You could not have cast that any better. Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh my god, yeah, he was a great Rorschach.
Yep.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the reasons that movie worked so well was because it was brilliantly cast.
It was cast fairly well. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I'm a big Supernatural fan. Just about anything I see him in, I think he does a really fantastic job. I feel like he's kind of one of those underappreciated actors.
Yeah,
know?
Over sure.
As far as the rest of the Watchmen, Billy Crudup as...
Night Owl?
No, as Dr. Manhattan.
I thought that was pretty well cast.
I thought he did it all right. I mean, a great deal of it was voice and just motion capture, but I still thought he did a really great job. Malin Ackerman, I feel like she could have been replaceable. I don't think she did a bad job.
She looked the part, though.
She looked the part. I don't think she did a bad job, but you can't tell me that you couldn't have gotten another actress that could have still filled out the suit properly.
I'm just saying, I saw her boobs. I'm happy. I'm a terrible person. I'm sorry.
And, but yeah, for the most part, that cast was fairly well for that movie. Punisher movies. We've had three of them. We've had Dolph Lundgren. We've had Thomas Jane. We've had Ray Stevenson. Let's just sweep the Dolph one out of the way right off the bat. As far as those, because Chris and I have had many a conversation about this. You brought up Dirty Laundry already a couple of times this episode.
Here's when it comes down to the Punisher movies, and this is what I'm going to. Both Tom Jane and Ray Stevenson both played the Punisher very well for what they had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, both of them I can see playing the Punisher because, for example, the Tom Jane Punisher, it reminded me more of the Rucker's run of the Punisher, where Ray Stevenson mm-hmm. is more of the classic War Journal Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think those movies boiled down to the writing of them. Okay, the Tom mm-hmm. Jane Punisher movie, I could not stand John Travolta as the bad guy.
I agree.
Okay, here's a question. Who would you have cast as a villain in that? Because is that guy even in the comics?
Yeah.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The same
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, yeah.
You
know what?
There's Why didn't I give a shit about him then?
I would have picked anybody.
Roberts. He proved in Nolan's Batman movies that he can do a mob boss fairly well.
Oh yeah, Eric Roberts.
And Tekken.
I would have taken
oh,
any
God,
of
the
classic.
Tekken movie. You brought
sunglasses.
It wasn't even Tekken. That was DOA. He was
oh,
in.
That's it. That's right. Yeah, I forgot
with
about
Kevin Nash.
I would have taken like anybody. Like you could have thrown in like a Robert De Niro or an Al Pacino, any of those
yeah.
classic
mm-hmm.
mob portraying guys,
mm-hmm.
and they would have done a better job than him. He just I didn't like his
comb
over. I didn't like his acting.
You brought up an interesting point though with the how one actor reminds you of one guy and another reminds you of another, and that's part of what happens. There's so much history with all these comic books that when it comes to making the movie, it's kind of the discretion of whoever's making it. Like,
yeah.
if you look at the Raimi Spider-Man movies, you look at that Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire and everything, you can tell that Raimi like grew up on the 60s Spider-Man cartoon, the Wallop and Web Snappers and all that, and that age of comic books, and that's what he was portraying. Whereas you look at Mark Webb's...
Amazing Spider-Man,
and that screams 90s.
You know
the 90s cartoon, the 90s comic books.
You know what's weird? I had this conversation with someone like a few months ago. I think Tobey Maguire was a better Peter Parker, but Andrew Garfield is a better Spider-Man.
I could see that.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
see, and that's another thing that I mean we could do a whole another show on this is you know, alternate identities and the actual characters playing him.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, we'll go back to the Daredevil movie. Like I said, it was written bad writing, but I think that Ben Affleck played the Matt Murdock side fantastic, but you could have stuck anybody really in the costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And he would have done just as good as a job.
And that,
but meanwhile,
that's the
where you get
exactly.
a character like Batman and Bruce Wayne, it's very hard to find somebody who works both as Batman and Bruce Wayne. For example, Michael Keaton was a fantastic Batman, but I thought his Bruce Wayne was a little weaker.
And I thought George Clooney was a good...
Then you got George Clooney, who was a fantastic Bruce Wayne,
but
his
Batman
was horrible.
Yeah.
And then you got...
Val Kilmer,
who was good at neither.
You have Christian Bale, who
he was discount
did a decent
Batman.
Job of each.
Well,
you can talk about the Batman voice.
Then you got Christian Bale, who in Batman Begins... was great at both, but then suddenly started sucking as Batman because his voice.
It was the voice, though. It's like,
if he dialed it back just five notches.
I think what happened was, I think he did Batman Begins and realized that he couldn't continue doing films with that voice. Because he was very gravelly in Batman Begins. And then you notice once it got to The Dark Knight, he went all nasally instead.
And
so
then,
I think that was the only way he felt he could do the voice without completely wrecking his voice.
Well, he did the same voice in Terminator Salvation. As John Connor, and I've made this joke before on other shows, and I'll bear repeating here. If you go back and watch Terminator Salvation, Christian Bale is a Pokemon in that movie. What do I mean by that? The only words he says, I'm John Connor, over and over again. And what do Pokemon say? Their names.
Sorry, I'm just picturing Schwarzenegger and a Pokeball hitting him in the chest. And he just
go, Schwarzenegger!
And then he just kicks it away.
Oh my god, I'd love to have like a Pokeball full of like the Expendables. That's a great idea. Marvin Law, draw this. Anyway. All right, guys, we're in the last minute of the show. Closing thoughts.
I think what it all comes down with, as long as they don't do something completely ridiculous, retarded with a movie, who's cast in what role is going to come down more to the costuming and the writing of the script of the movie than it is going to be with what actor's playing him. Because an actor, if it's a decent actor, an actor can chameleon himself into anything.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All right. So it is all going to come down to, when it all comes down to these comic book movies or science fiction movies that are now being, you know, taken from comics and or books, it all comes down to the writing of the script and how well the actor can accommodate that writing. That's just my thoughts. What about you, Jeff?
Again, touching on your chameleon aspect, if someone's cast for a movie and you don't like it, at least wait and see.
Yeah.
Give it a chance, because you never know when you're going to have Heath Ledger knock it out of the park as the Joker.
Yeah. I mean, we wanted Bryan Cranston. We got Jesse Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they thought we misheard Heisenberg. But hey, never know. This kid could be awesome.
For all we know, it could be flashback scenes. Maybe it's a young Luther.
Man, never thought of that. Good call. How they keep that under wraps for so long. But still, either way. My final thoughts on this is I want Chris Tucker as Gambit. See you next week, folks.
No one understands what's coming out of his mouth.
Machete!